Matthew chapter 6. Last week Jesus spoke to us a little bit, didn't he? When he said, but when you pray, but when you fast, but when you do your acts of righteousness. And today he speaks to us again in this prayer. And I'm going to put together this prayer and the topic of forgiveness in one Sunday, so we've got some ground to cover. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation this morning. I really like the way the New Living Translation has stated some of these things. Follow along with me. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 9. Jesus said to those that were seated there on the hillside that day, he said, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know what? The more I've thought about that this week, the more I've been reminded his will is being done in heaven. But it's not always being done on earth because there are human wills involved. Sometimes our will gets in the way. I love this part of the prayer. May your will be done on earth amongst us as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. This is where I really like the NLT. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Verse 13, and don't let us yield to temptation. I like the way the New Living says that. Help us through this temptation, even though temptation may come. Father, he says, pray to our Father. Help us through this. And don't let us yield to that temptation. But rescue us from the evil one. Most early manuscripts end there. So we just prayed a little more than that. But most early manuscripts end right there. And then 14. Excuse me. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. If you've ever wondered, friends, how to pray, this would be a good outline. Some people say, Jim, but I don't know how to pray. It's really simple. We talk to our Father in heaven. And this is a wonderful outline. This outline for prayer addresses much of what we need every day. And so very, very briefly, I'm going to go over 4 points here that you can use as an outline for your prayer life every day. He begins with our Father in heaven. Reverence, humility, awe, fear, whatever words you want to use. But we pay reverence to our Father in the heavens. Hallowed be thy name. Our prayers should begin with recognizing he is God. It was a psalmist who said, thou alone art God. And that's how our prayers should be addressed. Thou alone art God. Hallowed be thy name. Our prayers should always include the important part of saying and praying, thy will be done. Yes, thy will be done for my life today and tomorrow and the decisions I have next week. Thy will be done in the church house. Thy will be done in the city. Thy will be done in our nation. Our prayers should always recognize it is the Father's will that we want to happen in our life. Amen? It is the Father's will in my life that I want to happen. And sometimes his will is different than mine. You've maybe discovered that. Remember the story in the letter to the Corinthians when Paul pleaded 3 times, please remove this thorn from my flesh. You remember the story? His will is more important than my will. You know the story, then you know the answer. My grace is all you need, Paul. He didn't remove the thorn. And maybe you're going through something physically hard or challenging. And when we really cry out to the Father and say, God, I'm like Paul here with a thorn in my flesh, and I don't know where it's coming from or why, but please remove it. He's probably going to answer you, but His will may be different. The thorn may remain, but He's still going to comfort you and remind you, my grace is sufficient for you. So oftentimes, friends, I have been guilty, and perhaps you have too. We want it our way and our will, and it may not be the Father's will. And so our prayers should remember, we should be reminded every time we come to the Father in reverence to Him. And we should remember, your will is more important than mine. His will is way more important than ours. His plan, believe it or not, friends, His plan for you and me is better than ours. Number three, daily bread. The New Living Translation says, the food we need. I like that. Daily provision, daily care. There's nothing wrong with asking God for daily provision. Jesus modeled that right here. There is a difference, however, between asking God for our daily bread and daily provision. There is a difference between asking for our wants and our needs. And so Jesus is modeling this here. Give us this day our daily bread. The New Living says, give us the food we need. And so just be mindful. Am I praying for my daily needs or am I praying for my wants? We have to sometime measure those wants versus needs. And the fourth category here, just briefly, and then I'll move into that more, is forgiveness of sin. Our daily prayer should always include asking for forgiveness. You say, Jim, what if I don't eat it? Well, we probably do. It could have been just in thought. It could have been in action. It could have been in word. It could have been in deed. It could have been in pride, covetousness, lying, greed, you name it, a hundred other things. We need to confess the sin and come clean again before Almighty God. This verse that he has written down here is a pivotal point. It is contingent. You see what he said? Forgive us our sin, our debts, our trespasses. And then what's he say next? As we forgive those that sin against us. You see the contingency there? I've talked to folks that said, Jim, I'm just too bad to be forgiven. Do not assume you are too bad to be forgiven, because Jesus shed his blood for sinners. All of us. I've also talked to people on the other side of the spectrum. Said, I haven't done anything wrong. I don't need forgiveness. And I would say, do not assume we are so good that we don't need forgiveness. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I want to spend just the few minutes that we have left on this topic of forgiveness. You say, well, Jim, I thought you talked about that a while ago. Well, I probably did. But we probably need to be reminded of this thing called forgiveness again. You see, because the more I thought about this, the more I thought that forgiveness is a topic that comes up in everybody's life. Everybody's life. Because to be, I mentioned being born again last week. To be born again, we must repent. We must ask for forgiveness. And so forgiveness, this idea of forgiving, comes up in everybody's life. And then when we become more like Christ, and we're challenged by His Word, and we're letting His Word lead us, He says, when we come to the Father and ask for forgiveness, we do that knowing that we have the ability, the strength, the wherewithal, if you will, to be able to forgive those that have sinned against us. So this idea of forgiveness comes up in all of our lives. If and when we have been born again, we've been forgiven by God, and we must then be able to process this thing called forgiveness. Jesus said, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse, he says, your Father will not forgive your sins either. And I've heard all kinds of people when I used to work with my coworkers or perhaps my neighbors or sometimes even folks in church. I've heard all kinds of stories that says, Jim, you don't know how I've been hurt. I can't forgive them. Anybody get Voice of the Martyrs magazine yet? Not too many of you. Some of you still get Voice of the Martyrs magazine. I tell you what, friends, all you got to do is read one of them and you can see forgiveness lived out. It was two issues ago. It told about a little boy, 12 years old. He was a slave in Ethiopia. Parents been killed. Villagers all killed. Little boys taken as slaves. But he knew Jesus. And he wanted to slip off to church. And so he slipped off to church. It was a few miles away. He had to walk there. His owner knew he was gone. And the owner and some of the others went out in the desert someplace to meet the boy en route back from church. Threw him to the ground, nailed his knees to a board, and left him in the desert to die. And the little boy told Voice of the Martyrs a little while later, but I forgive him because Jesus has forgiven me. You see, friends, there is a way to be able to forgive when we recognize what he has done for me. You could read last month's Voice of the Martyrs. It talks about Stephen, a principal from Burma. You read that story? Stephen's a principal in Burma, a Buddhist country. And one day he just decided to share with his children in the classroom some about Jesus. How Jesus has changed his life. Well, the children went home and told their parents, and the parents got all in a fuss about it, and they hired some thugs to beat up this principal Stephen, and they beat him almost to death. And they show pictures of his scars. It's ugly. And yet, at the bottom of the story, you can read the story. It's in the March Voice of the Martyrs magazine. Stephen said he needed to get better. He needed to go back and confront the captors and those that beat him so bad and tell them, I forgive you. All we got to do is read books in the... We could read Amish Grace. Some of you have heard about Amish Grace, haven't you? Some of you have heard of Amish Grace. You heard about the five little girls killed in their own little school by the milkman that day. This has been a year or two ago. Then the book came out, Amish Grace. That same day, some of those families, the book is in our library. That same day, some of those families went to the wife of the mailman and said, we forgive you. Your husband has just killed our daughters. We forgive you. And we forgive him if he were here to forgive. And so I know I've talked to lots of folks over the years and have said, Jim, you don't know what I've been through and I can't do it. And I want to encourage you, friends, to bear in mind what Jesus has gone through. And he perhaps is our ultimate, whether we use the little 12-year-old boy or the person down the street or the next person as an example. Perhaps Jesus is the ultimate example. When he hung there on the cross, having been beat nearly to death and spikes driven through him, said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Maybe that's our ultimate example. And I know forgiveness is hard. Jesus talks about it again in Matthew 18. When Peter comes to him and said, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive this, my brother? Up to seven times? And he answers the question with the story. This king had these servants, And he forgave the debt to the servants. And then the servants were in turn had some servants or whatever that owed them something and wouldn't. And Jesus tells that whole story. And at the end of the story, you can read it in Matthew 18. It ends up in verse 35. You can read what he says in 34 and 35. His father's not happy about that. Throw him out. And so, friends, there's a lot to say about forgiveness. And I've thought about it. And here's maybe one way to look at it. Forgiving someone when they have wronged you is like our Heavenly Father forgiving us when we have wronged Him. Can we process it that way? God has forgiven you and me if we've asked. And He in turn then asks us to forgive those that have sinned against us. Do you deserve God's forgiveness? No. But that's where His grace kicks in. We deserve His punishment. We deserve His wrath. We have transgressed against a holy God. But when we come to Him and say, Father, forgive me, the Bible says He is faithful. He is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is willing. Oh, aren't we blessed? Aren't we so fortunate? He's willing to forgive us of our sin. And that person that has hurt you maybe doesn't deserve it either. Maybe doesn't deserve the time of your time of the day. But God is willing to forgive them if they ask. Friends, listen to me. I can tell you stories. We don't have time today. I can see that already. I can tell you stories where healing will only come to your heart when you process this thing called forgiveness. I could tell you stories right here in town. I could tell you all kinds of stories I've read, books in the library. There's all kinds of examples. Healing will come when I'm able to process and forgive. Healing of the hurt and the bitterness and the anger in my soul. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us is how Jesus taught us to pray. And friends, let me just say this. If we don't mean them words, we may as well stop saying them. If we don't mean when we pray, Father, forgive me as I have forgiven those who have sinned against me. If we don't mean that, we may as well stop saying it. Oh, there's so much to be said about forgiveness. Forgiving that person didn't make the event right. It just takes that burden off you. I spoke to a dear friend of mine not more than a month ago. And he went on at length about how he was angry at this person, this neighbor that wronged him. And now I've seen that person in church. Makes me angry all over again. I said, brother, how long ago was that? Oh, that was a long time ago. That was 20, 25 years ago. I said, do you suppose that person even thinks about that anymore? Probably not. I said, then who's the only one hurt about this infraction? 25 years later. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I said, to be able to release that 25 years of hurt and anger and bitterness, I'm not saying you weren't wronged. I'm saying God has asked you to process this thing called forgiveness. You're the only one hurting here anymore. It wasn't 2 weeks later. He came to me and said, Jim, you're right. It works. The bitterness, the anger had been dealt with because he was able to bring with the leading of the Spirit and the strength of the Master to forgive and let it go. I know that forgiving the abusive, murderous, heinous, sickening acts and sins that have been committed against some of you is hard. I know that. God knows it too. But the more I thought about forgiveness these last few days, the more I thought about the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, and some of the rest of it's kind of hard too. Some of the rest of the teaching on the Sermon on the Mount isn't that fun either. But with surrendering our agenda to Christ, it is not only possible, it's doable. Who said they enjoyed praying for their enemies? And yet we looked at that just a week or so ago. Love your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Who said that, yeah, I'm looking forward to a good flogging or having my knees nailed to the board and left in the desert to die? Who said they're going to enjoy that? Who said that praying for those that hurt my children was going to be fun or easy or anything else? And so as I have looked at this topic called forgiveness, I have concluded it fits right along with the rest of the Sermon on the Mount teaching. Forgiving those that sinned against you and I is not easy either, but necessary for the disciple of Jesus, necessary for the follower of Jesus, necessary, he just told us, for my sins to be forgiven, necessary for my own spiritual health and well-being and growth. I could tell you several stories like that. Necessary so that people will see the reflection of Jesus in you. Could you imagine being in work? I worked in the factory a long time. Could you imagine being in work and someone wronged you outright and people all around you knew it and someone came to you and said, what are you going to do about that? You're going to retaliate? And your reply was, Jesus said, I should pray for them and forgive them. Could you imagine the impact and the response on people when we really let our light shine? Wasn't it Jesus that just said here 3-4 weeks ago, let your light shine. You are the light of the world. Necessary for us to be healed. Healed from the hurt, the anger, the resentment, the bitterness that's still bottled up inside of us. Necessary for God to get some glory from your life. Let me just close with this, friends. This topic of forgiveness is reciprocal. We ask God to forgive us, and the prayer says, because we are willing. And I believe what Jesus is saying there is, Father, forgive me. It looks to me like he's saying, Father, forgive me when I forgive those that sin against me. He said, as we forgive those, Father, forgive me when I forgive those that sin against me. And so let me just say this. If we are struggling with this idea of forgiveness, please let the Lord help you process that. On His strength, these things are possible. On His leading, these things are possible and doable. And if we have wronged somebody, and God has put that on our heart, do what you need to do to seek their forgiveness. Friends, we could talk a great deal about forgiveness, but our time is up. Our time has passed up. And I just want to encourage you, as I said a week or two ago, Jesus didn't give us a list of do's and don'ts that he knew we couldn't do. He gave us the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, when you've surrendered wholly to me, when you've let your agenda go and let my agenda take over, these things become possible. And so give it to the Lord. Let him help you. Let him heal you as you process this thing called forgiveness.